Hello, everyone. I'm Corey.
I'm Eric.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Alec.
And this is the Youtini Avatar Show, proud partner of the Youtini Network, where we are discussing Avatar, The Last Airbender, the new live-action show on Netflix. And this week, we are talking about episode 2 of the show. We're going to talk about our favorite moments, how it differs from the animated show, and where we envision the direction that we are going to next. Thanks for hanging out with us, and be sure to leave us a review wherever you get your podcast if you like what you hear. Before we get into this week's conversation, we'd like to thank our sponsor, the United Patreon Community. Head over to patreon.com/Youtini to see everything that our community has to offer. Stay tuned for more details about that later in the show. All right, guys, let's hit it. We have not talked about this a little bit. Alec, you and I did play some video games last night. We cheated a little bit.
You want to talk about it?
Not very much. We didn't talk about much. We've not talked really privately.
All I did was give you letter grades. I said if I was a teacher, here's my letter grade.
Also, for anyone confused, the international law of boys is when you play video games, you discuss life events. That connecting those dots, that means that you talked about what you've been doing in your life. Because the only time we can show emotion, it's when we share if you've gotten engaged, if you're having a baby. Like, only during Helldivers or Halo are you allowed to do life things.
That is correct. But the point I was making is that we haven't really talked very much. This is the first time. So we are going to talk about episode 2 tonight. Even though this is episode 3 of our show, we're going to talk about episode 2 tonight. And fair warning to all of our listeners, this is a spoiler-filled episode. So, you know, if you haven't listened to the other episodes, you should go back and listen to those. If you haven't watched the Avatar show on Netflix, you should probably watch that as well. And also, full spoilers for the animated show, but we shouldn't have to say that. Yes, I guess one other caveat we want to share is that we have already watched episode 2 and 3. I know that we're supposed to be watching them kind of as we go, but it is important to clarify that we're banking two recordings at
the illusion
one
is broken.
Busy adults.
Fourth
it sucks
broken.
Being an adult. Yep.
But we won't spoil live action episode 3 to the best of our abilities in this one.
Yep.
Yes.
So let's keep it focused, everyone.
You're good.
Episode 2. Let's talk about episode 2. I want to start with just general thoughts, gut reactions. What stood out? How did you like it? Caitlin, why don't you go first?
I cried. I cried multiple times during this episode. It was good. I don't know what to say other than that. We had some great moments. I don't want to spoil it yet, but
You can spoil it. It's all right.
I mean, okay, the Avatar state.
That was dope.
Pretty dope.
Yep.
With Avatar Kyoshi just being there. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Suki
was great. I want to talk about Suki a lot, actually. I will echo that because Kaylin and I watched it together, mm-hmm. of course. And I also really liked episode 2. I think of the 3 episodes that I've seen, this is my favorite so far, which is funny, considering Alec. What do you think, Alec?
For those listening, I made a scrunchy face.
That's right.
I'll put it this way. Look, we're going to get into it, so I'm not gonna harp on anything too big right now. My major takeaways are Zhao has lost his balls from the original animated show.
Oh, no.
Boomerang fans are awesome. And we get to see Kyoshi fight, and that is probably the coolest thing I have ever seen in the show so far. So I also like Appa being called a flying cow. I was thinking about what would I call that? If I saw Appa, I guess I would call that a flying cow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Kind of tracks. Eric, how about you?
Cool. I'll keep mine brief as well because we'll get into all the stuff. Ironically, my least favorite episode by a pretty decent margin.
Of course. That's how it goes.
I'll work my way up. My unfortunate stuff, bullet points, I think Aang is bad. Iroh, it's worse. Zuko is great.
Iroh, worse.
I thought Zhao was actually very cool. I thought it was a very good introduction.
What?
I
thought you'd be on my side on that.
Well, I'm going to be your side on a lot of this. Not putting Sokka in the dress is the most cowardly move of the 21st century. You're all
weak
at Netflix, and you will not survive the winter. You have no heart. But I do think Kyoshi, I was kind of neutral on. It was fine. But my favorite part was easily Suki and Sokka. Great chemistry with the actors.
Oh, yes.
I thought their scenes were phenomenal. And we ended with a really great ending hook with Fire Lord Ozai. So when I'm like,
yeah, that's all good.
Other than Iroh, whenever there were adults, I was like, okay, it's pretty good. I'm in a good place. Maybe it should be adults. Maybe it should just not be children. But yeah, not my favorite, but definitely some cool high points.
I think that's actually a good place to start at the kind of the beginning of these episodes, because, you know, as we've talked about a lot on Utini podcasts in the past, like, if you do it right, if you have a conversation about a media piece right, then you should leave the conversation feeling like better about it than you did when you started, I think. So I think a good place to start is kind of to talk about some of the quote unquote elephants in the room, right? Like some of the stuff that's maybe not
in the room, if you will.
Not the best. There you go. Yeah, I was gonna ask you, like, we should give this some kind of name.
I think it has to be flying cow. Yeah, here's our flying cow.
That's it. Let's talk about the flying cow. Right out the gate, and the internet is very filled with this. I spent some time on the Avatar: The Last Airbender subreddit.
Oh no, Corey!
This week,
oh no!
And it is polarizing. It is people either think it's the best thing that's ever happened, or it's the worst show that's ever been made. There's no in between.
Wow!
I also saw some crazy data on the internet this week. Did you guys see this? Apparently, the first episode has been streamed more times than the finale of the animated series.
Wow.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me just because I think that...
Accessibility?
Yeah. Netflix is just bigger than Nickelodeon, and more adults are watching it versus we were kids watching it.
Does the data show a drop-off?
I don't know. They didn't publish that. They just did. Netflix posted that... I think it was on Instagram that I saw this. Netflix posted that it did... better than Nickelodeon's data said about the finale of the animated show, and also it did better than the opening weekend of M. Night Shyamalan's movie
as well. Although, actually, guys, hold on. We forget. Of course there's going to be a drop-off, Alec, because everyone is waiting for our podcast episode to come out so they don't want to watch ahead.
Right. I know. It's going to be a delay.
I'm so sorry that we're affecting Netflix's data. So hard.
I know. Exactly. All right, Flying Cows. This show is way too exposition heavy. Yes. They need to shut the hell up and show, don't tell. Show, don't tell. Yes. It's number one rule of storytelling. Yep.
Are you making this for people who have never seen the series at all, or are you making this as like a fan service?
I think, it's a good question.
Because
good question
the to exposition
have.
To me is necessary. I don't feel the same way you do necessarily. I would say that my big thing, and when I think about the conversations that I had in our first episode about The Void and my hope for it and how much I enjoy it, I'm starting to see, and you guys have watched a lot more content that has been filmed on The Void than I have. It is becoming
the volume.
Sorry. Oh my gosh, The Void.
We should call it The Void. That's a better name for it.
Okay. Well, The Void, The Volume.
Wait. It's not really composed of anything real. It sucks in people and they can no longer escape.
Yeah. Like, this 23,000 square foot area with 3,000 LED screens is becoming very, very apparent. And I haven't decided.
I told you, once you see it, you can never not unsee it.
I haven't decided whether I don't like it or not, because the scenes are beautiful. It definitely has a place.
They are.
100%.
But yeah, I can't unsee it now. Every single scene. I would say in episode two less, when we get into next week's episode, I've got some thoughts for sure, but the volume void, whatever we want to call it, is becoming more and more apparent to me. And that's probably my biggest flying cow right now.
Yeah. I agree with both your flying cows. I think that exposition, like the original show is a lot of exposition, but the brilliant way they wrote the title, Water, Earth, the Fire Nation Attack, the Avatar, like it's all in the opening credits and then they go and Zuko's like, oh, I got banished. And then he moves on. Like there are really intelligent ways to do it organically. And I think that currently in the show, they don't know how to fit their exposition in organically, because when the showrunners left that did it in the first place, they tried to make these scripts like, oh, wait, what did they mean? Okay, we can't copy it exactly, so we need to fit it in. So it feels like inorganic exposition.
100%.
And I think my biggest flying cow, again, not to be the dark one on this podcast, which is hilarious for anyone that's listening to me and a bunch of other podcasts, the kids acting I can't get past. I think Sokka is very good when he has a good scene partner. Like when he is talking with Suki, he actually has some pretty good scenes in episode 3 we're going to talk about. But like Aang, I know he's age appropriate. His physical work is very good when he's airbending and moving around. I actually really like his flow. There was a point, I'm not sure if it was this episode or the next one, where You could tell they had clearly put the eyedropper of tears
that was
in his
this
eyes
one.
Before the tape.
That was literally the start. Oh, that's the start of episode two.
And I'm like, bro, like, yeah.
Was it good?
It felt so unnatural because he never looked at the camera. He just looked down the whole, like, there was never a shot to his eyes. It was very odd.
And I'm just not connected. And my biggest touch points for the animated show at the beginning are Katara, Aang, and then Iroh. And those three actors, unfortunately, again, Iroh being Paul Sun-Yang, is like, they're not giving, the lines feel inorganic and the lines are exposition heavy. So it's kind of a double whammy. So whatever there's actual scene work, it hurts. So yeah, that's my flying cow. We will fly away, everybody. Don't worry, we're gonna fly away from these flying cows. But those are big cows that are consistent from episode to episode.
I don't know. My flying cow is just a character.
The character?
Yeah, it's Iroh, man.
Iroh? Yeah, man. I would agree with you.
I want to. And every time he opens his mouth, I'm just like, that was awkward.
I was the dragon.
Every single time.
Were you?
I know. I'm like, what?
Like, that's the take we got?
Well,
like, come on. There was one good line. And I can't remember if it was in this episode or the next one.
Yeah.
And it was like delivered perfectly.
So, that was a good line. I can't remember which one it was either. I will say that this episode, every single time, and this episode and the next one, every single time that Iroh steps in to speak for Zuko, he sounds like Iroh.
Decent.
It seems good. Yeah. He's kind of political.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah, whenever he delivers like a piece of wisdom, like he is
there was
so,
one good line.
Yeah, which
I know.
So he's averaging a third of a good line an episode at this point, basically.
Yeah, not great.
It's not good.
Not great. Which is so funny.
This isn't a flying
casting choices too. I would say are probably the most divisive thing I've seen online. Actually,
oh, easily. A lot of the people are like, "This is never this one," or "Oh my god, they were born to play this role." And I know.
Yes.
We all agree it's a mixed bag. Like some of them don't work, and some of them are. Excellent. Like, I think, pretty much, Iroh aside, Fire Nation, for me, pretty on point. Like, Ozai, some of the people we see in the next episode are all picture perfect.
That's right.
I would disagree, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah. But
let's move into some of the positives, too, I think, then. I think, absolutely. You know, I would... And let's get into the we need to bicker as well. I want to
bicker.
Talk about
we will.
Well, we agree with. I want to talk about Zhao actually for a minute because we have.
Oh yes, I vote. I like him.
Y'all are
crazy.
Votes
medium. Alec votes no. So I want to talk about Zhao because I think Zhao is probably the most staunchly different from the animated character that we've maybe seen so far.
Oh, I would think. I don't think so. I thought
I know.
Have you watched
Faithful? Have y'all watched the Iron?
I would agree with Eric.
I mean, he's much more sassy this time around. He's much less serious. He has much less angry eyebrows than.
I interpret it as like conniving. It's very conniving and manipulative.
He's intelligent.
Like he's strategizing.
Yes.
Everything's a strategy.
I think that's what they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
I don't think I quite felt that. Alec, what about you?
Zhao in the original series, we get to see an Agni Kai. We get to learn about.
Oh yeah,
he's serious.
We get to learn about Zuko's backstory.
Yeah.
We get to watch Iroh mentor and see Zuko use what Iroh has been teaching him about attacking the roots. You know, of
that's right.
Yeah,
it's this is such a pivotal character for me because Zhao starts in the series. You know, Zuko shows up and he said, you know, immediately he's just going into nobody cares about you. You're a traitor. Your dad gave you an impossible mission. Everybody knows you're gonna fail. We don't care what you have to say, but we have to play this game because you are technically the prince.
And it takes a little while for that to come out in the animated show, I think, too. I mean, I think in the animated show, he's more depicted as this sort of serious, seasoned, kind of admiral.
Definitely. Well,
and then, like,
they come in.
And they undermine that majorly in this show, right? Like, they said he's failed officer school, he's not worthy.
And the animated show, the first time you meet Zhao, he literally gets introduced as getting a promotion to be commander.
That's right.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, insert a really quick a flying cow. I think that is very relevant to this. Is that there are you cut stuff for adaptations, but I'm really you said the Agni Kai there, Alec, and there's a moment with Sokka in the dress later in this episode. They're cutting iconic parts. Like, is that small?
That
like,
is true.
Like the Agni
that is
Kai
true.
Is actually a massive thing. Sokka wearing the makeup and dress of a Kyoshi warrior top.
That is true.
A massive thing. So it's mm-hmm. the choosing of what to cut to make it adaptable, I think, is an issue. Anyway, so I didn't mean to cut you off, but I thought that was very relevant.
No, it's very true.
That's so tricky, though. That's so tricky. It's such a subjective thing. Yes. When we're talking about cutting, it's so subjective. I don't know.
Well, getting to see Zuko's story arc in the beginning where you see him, where like, you know that Zuko has lost his Agni Kai to his dad. That's why that was part mm-hmm. of the banishment. Mm-hmm. That's why he has the scar. And then you get to see him kind of finding out where he is in the food chain, and he defeats the new commander Zhao is so important to that role.
Also Zhao is a cheater too.
Yes!
Remember?
Yes.
At the end of the fight, he's like he's gonna attack him anyway, and Iroh steps in.
Yeah. You know what, dude. Guys, I get it. I understand. They cut the Agni Kai because there's no way that this Iroh could realistically do that at the end of a fight.
Well, I might change my mind then. Alec, because I'm telling you, especially
I know.
Especially during the burning down of Kyoshi, it was really weak. It was really weak. Yeah. Me and Corey were like,
he gets defeated by Sokka with a fan
at Kyoshi.
You know what I mean?
All right, Zhao with Kyoshi. Yeah, okay, so this is an important moment to step in and kind of think about this for a second, though, because you got to remember that. You know, it takes, it's easy to say this is not like the original, right? But it takes a lot more effort, a lot more energy to look at this and be like, okay, it's different. We've established how it's different. We've established we've lost some, you know, kind of meat to what it was maybe previously. But if you take a different spin on it of like, it is different, it is a creative choice. And I will say, if I'm able to sort of let go of what the animated Zhao was, I do kind of like this Zhao.
Yeah.
And, like, this
and that's
is a different
exactly where
Zhao.
I am.
Almost like he's a different character entirely.
Because ultimately, I think that's more about the actor than necessarily the writing of the character, because there are so many actors, I think, in the first episode and a half for me that really delivered their lines inorganically or that don't feel like they're living in the world. And this guy, he walks in, he carries himself, and speaks in a way that he feels like he belongs in the world, and he is deserving of command. I hear what you're saying, though, Alec, that it's not the command that we want now. And like we said in our Prelude episode,
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I haven't seen Zhao in about 10 years. So that probably absolutely affects me, that I'm just like, oh, cool, a guy that's doing good scene work. I'll take it.
And look, I'll say this, too. I mean, as somebody who's very passionate about the original show, I'm cool with that. I'm actually very glad to hear you say that. If you don't have this tie to the character the way that I do, and you can see that character and go, this fits, this works, this guy is very good.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm fine with that. I will accept that and move on. But just know that in my heart, I'm seething.
Oh, I know. No, I'm at Agni Kai now. I know.
That was a pivotal.
If I had to say something, I think they took some of the gumption from General Zhao, and I think they gave it to Aang. Honestly, because I don't remember. Aang is getting a little bit more ballsy.
Yeah.
He used to be not like very permissive, very like avoidant of conflict. It was very much like, oh, this is funny. Look at this funny thing.
Well, they changed
Look
the
at
whole
this distraction.
That he goes to Kyoshi Island.
Yeah.
Because,
well, they changed the reason he leaves too.
Yeah. Because originally he's like, I want to go penguin sledding. It was the whole reason we go to Kyoshi Island, right? Is that right, Alec? Was it penguin sledding or was it?
No, they were
going to ride the giant koi.
That's it.
Yes!
That's it. Oh, my God.
That's it.
Okay, there was a, but it was a fun.
That's right.
A fun
the entire
activity.
First season is kind of like that.
Oh,
the entire first season is like trying to convince Aang that he has to come around to his, like, you know, his responsibility and all this stuff, right? And honestly, I will say that, like, I think I appreciate the pace of Aang getting to his responsibility, frankly.
I don't mind it.
It really drug out in the animated series. And like, there, I remember even thinking as a kid when I watched, I was like, come on, Aang, you're the superhero. Yeah, you gotta like step up.
Do you see the comet, Aang? It's coming.
I know.
It's coming.
It took him a long time, right? Isn't it, who was it in the animated show that told Aang that he had to, was it Bumi? I think Bumi might have been the one that told him that, like, listen, it's the comet. That's the cutoff, my guy. Like,
no. The comet was Roku in the tower.
Oh, it's Roku.
Yeah.
God, what would you do without me here? You would
Man,
be spilling bad information, Corey.
I know.
You've watched it most recently,
so I assume that our audience is from a lot of different areas.
Although,
it's good that we kind of have.
One thing I do miss that we're not getting quite enough is I've watched a couple clips of the animated show recently, just not for fillers necessarily, to like memorize it, but like, oh, is this scene similar-ish? I do kind of miss how mouthy Katara is in the animated show. Because she's very...
I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, she gets really angry in the next episode, and I'm like, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, we're...
Let's talk about Avatar and Sokka for a second. I think that's worth definitely talking about because in the first episode,
Aang? What? Avatar?
I'm sorry. Katara.
Okay,
Katara. Katara and Sokka. Avatar. You know, Avatar. Yeah. Sorry. My bad. Sokka and Katara. First episode, not convinced by Sokka at all. Second episode,
I liked him.
Grew on me a lot.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
I mean,
surprisingly,
it was kind of hot.
It starts. I'll say.
I was waiting for you guys to mention this.
It was the Kyoto scene. It was hot. I literally turned to Caitlin and I was like, "That was kind of hot."
The stupid lie.
The whole fighting thing.
Yeah, with him.
And I turned to him and I was like, yeah. "If both these boys do not say that this scene was hot, I don't know what I'm gonna do."
I did miss, and I'm sure Alec, you're gonna say this as well. I did miss what the internet is mad about: his sexism at Kyoshi Island. That then turns into respect, I think, is a beautiful message. And they clearly...
They kind of skimmed over
it. Yeah, well, they took it out because he's like... It kind of lessens the arc of him understanding. Mm. He's just like, well, you're a good fighter, and I'm kind of a fighter. It just kind of went straight to, I think you're kind of hot, which is fine. But
well,
I missed the...
I think it's important to say, like, when this episode starts, when we have the first scene with Aang, Sokka, and Katara in the Southern Air Temple... Sokka and Katara have this exchange where she wants to go with Aang and wants to go on this adventure. Mostly she wants to learn about bending. And Sokka is like, I got to go home. I have duties back home.
Protect
I have things.
Yeah.
You know,
Dad told me to protect the village.
And you start to see like, okay, Sokka feels like he has responsibility back home. And Katara feels like there's nothing for her back home. You know, there's nobody to learn from. There's nothing to do. You're just one of, you know, many women left in the village. And Sokka's like the only dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Because he has importance.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he's a man.
So, and that to me builds on this, on what the animated show did of him feeling like he has to be macho and, you know, men are stronger.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I would have liked to have seen at least something alluding to that, even if they squash it immediately, just something of him being a little more misogynistic.
It was so close. Listen, I can tell you where it should have been.
Hit it.
It should have been in the scene in the woods where she like kicked his ass.
Yeah,
like
oh, you're
it should have been there.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It should have been there because I will say when she like they kind of played it off as she was kind of flirting with him, right? Like, and then he sort of leaves the scene suddenly, right? Remember
Sokka.
That?
Left Sokka.
The scene suddenly,
yeah, right?
Yeah, he should have left the scene.
Okay,
suddenly.
I have some comments on that.
Hit it.
Okay.
So one, I find it super interesting that all you boys are missing the boy story. Like, you're missing that coming of age, like learning that girls are cool and deserving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it seems like that's missing, but. As a woman, like, I didn't miss it. It's
really?
Weird. I didn't miss it at all. Like, I just thought it was interesting that Sokka was a little bit more respectful. But
do you think maybe it's too on the nose?
Like, maybe it's just been done so much that I'm kind of tired of it.
Fair, actually. To girls, basically.
Yeah. Yeah,
we already know
fair.
That. That
I
is
don't
well
like the
established.
Whole, like, boy
did you know that boys are sexist?
Boy is a bully.
Did you know?
Yeah. I don't like the whole like bully because I like
sexism
you.
Right now, Eric.
So yeah. There was tell me if I am remembering this correctly, but there is a scene where Suki like kicks his ass, and then she's like, are you impressed? Like, it almost had more of a girl story in that that sense of like girl is trying to impress boy. Are you impressed by all my powers? And like,
interesting.
She just wrecked him. Yeah. He's
she
like
did.
Embarrassed.
And he was immediately he was immediately changed. He didn't have to.
Did.
He didn't have to overcome his own sexism.
But she didn't know what she did wrong.
We should have had that. That Xbox 360 achievement sound and it goes kink unlocked. And soccer.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
The scene where she trains him was
that was
very well done.
Was very good.
That's where
it was very good.
Every scene with Sokka and Suki, I cried.
Do you,
Netflix is really
good at the YA sexual chemistry stuff. This is like they've done a lot of that with like the teens that do magic stuff that kind of fall in love. This is kind of their bag.
Heartstopper.
Did you find that you liked her acting more once she removed the makeup? I felt like once I could see her like actual movements where you could like see her inflections that she used.
Interesting.
You know, during
I didn't notice.
During her performance, I felt like I enjoyed her acting more when I could actually see her face better, I guess. if that makes sense.
No, I would say I didn't notice it. I was mad that the corners of her eyes were yellow.
Yes. Yellow in the show, so, I think, aren't they?
No, I don't.
I think they are.
I think there's yellow
I'm gonna have to look.
It's like yellow and purple.
Yeah,
and
the design of the Kyoshi Warriors is one of like the all-time coolest like warrior designs. I think. Yeah. And like,
I think
when
so
it was
too.
All
it's
of
very
them,
samurai-esque, yeah. very good.
And when they're all doing that training montage thing together, and they're like doing the forms, and Sokka's kind of watching, and they're all in the makeup, and I'm like, this is dope. This is a really great, because we harped a little on the production and costumes last episode, I think, and I want to give them their flowers. Like, they did very well.
I agree. 100%.
No, she does not have yellow in the inner corner of her eye. I will send it to you in Slack.
Interesting.
But no, she doesn't. It's full red, but her mom has the full red, and the other warriors have the full red. So she's got like a little bit of gold in the internal of her eyes, and I wondered if that was just like a costume choice. Yeah, to like point her out.
Yeah, because don't you? Like,
yeah, that's a highlight. Yeah, that's a highlight area.
Don't like some women do like white on the inside of the eyes to like make them pop and make the eyes look bigger?
Yes,
I know makeup. Welcome to makeup.
You do.
Corner.
You got it. You got it. I did that today.
Letting your theater background show.
That's
Eric.
Right. $120,000.
Yeah. I honestly think Suki is my favorite casting choice of form.
She's
honestly.
Great.
I thought she was fantastic. The dialogue that she delivered was fantastic. Yep. Her facial expressions were fantastic. Yep. Totally most believable character in the show.
Yep.
And honestly, I think her acting made me appreciate Sokka a lot.
She elevated
too.
Him.
Yeah.
She did.
I talked to a lot. Speaking of my theater background, I used to talk to people this way of like, I don't think I'm necessarily that individually talented as an actor, but if I'm with someone who's very good, I will try to rise to meet how good they are. And I think a lot of actors actually do that, which is why good people work with the same people over and over and over. And I think this Sokka actor might just act to the level that he's with. So if he's with Aang and Katara, who aren't necessarily as explosive, he's not necessarily as good. But if he's talking with Suki or like going against Zuko, it's fun.
She got a lot of like women's stories right. This whole like perspective of being stuck at home and never being able to leave home. That's a huge like girl story. I'm not allowed to leave. Mm-hmm. So the fact that y'all are talking
here.
About the
I can't
like
go in the real world, I have these responsibilities.
I have responsibilities. I have to stay safe.
It's so
all of these messages. Yes, it is very Rapunzel, but like I thought it was special that she got to share that in the show.
Yeah.
And Sokka was kind of almost amazed, and I think I interpreted it as he doesn't miss home as much anymore because he realizes what a privilege it is to leave.
Ooh, that's a good thought.
I like that because he's always assumed he had to go back and that it's an honor and a duty thing, but now seeing someone, because he's never been necessarily stopped from leaving. He has
no, and Katara wants to leave.
Right.
Yeah.
And they just did.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I like that look at that. Yeah. No, I like that. I got no issues with them.
Hello, explorers of the Four Nations. We are taking a short break from our journey through the Avatar The Last Airbender to share something truly special, and that is our vibrant Patreon community. Like I said at the top of the show, this week's episode of The Avatar Show is brought to you by The United. That is Utini's Patreon and Discord community, actually. And in our Patreon, you get a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes content, stuff, peeks at our YouTube channel productions. You also get ad-free versions of all of our podcasts and all kinds of other awesome benefits. If you are ready to join us, then head over to patreon.com/Utini and become a part of The United. Let's make our community stronger together, and don't wait. Let's dive into a world where your passions for fandoms become a shared adventure. Now, let's get back to the exciting world of Avatar and continue our journey through the mysteries and magic. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about Avatar Kyoshi herself. We've not really talked about Avatar Kyoshi very much, and I'm gonna give a little sneak peek for later. My Sokka snack for this episode is the fact that the creative liberty they took with the Avatar state of Kyoshi saying, "I will show you the Avatar's power," and then she formed herself. Formed herself as Avatar, and Avatar Kyoshi actually showed up in the world, which I don't remember that.
Which was really cool.
That was a very interesting and creative difference from the animated show, and frankly, I loved it. I thought it was super interesting. I thought that I can't imagine what it would be like to, like, you know, the Kyoshi warriors basically worship, you know, worship this gal, right? And she shows up in the flesh. Like, that's insane. Like, also, she was a badass, frankly. And
I
forgot how tall she actually is. And that, and
oh,
that's
huge. Yeah.
She's very tall.
And that's a very big story point for anybody who kind of knows her lore. Is she has this.
Have you read the book?
I'm glad they didn't.
I have not read the books. I've watched a thousand things on YouTube of people giving synopsis of
close enough
of all of those.
Fair enough.
But yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that they didn't bring in the weird random story of Shin the Conqueror.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember that? The short guy, and she stomps him off the cliff and he falls. That's ridiculous. Yes. I thought there was a moment where I thought that she was gonna name drop him, and I'm glad that she didn't. Nope.
Did the signs scene bother you? It bothered me for some reason.
What signs?
Yeah. When they first get to the temple and they're like,
signs. The Avatar.
I think it got me because
it was weird. It was dumb.
It felt weird.
I love that Kyoshi warrior said what we were all thinking. It was like, I think this is a sign. Yeah. Like, I love
it. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was dumb.
I didn't.
I thought it was really weird. But I also was thinking about, like, okay, when Aang first comes out in the first episode, they threw this weird scene into me where, like, Zuko's sitting at his desk writing, and this figurine lights up.
Yeah,
and it's like,
that was weird.
Okay, so if Aang is powerful enough that his return in the Avatar state makes this little figurine on Zuko's ship light up, would it not make the statue light up on Kyoshi's island? It's not that
did
far.
Did you see how far it away the statue was from the village? There was just nobody up there watching.
This for me was one of the symptomatic things of the writers of this show not trusting their audience enough to be like, see, no, they get it now. I kind of like the fact in the animated show they did really nice stuff about Aang always kind of having to prove that he's the Avatar.
Yeah.
All he does is airbend once, and cool, that's the only one. Like, that's all he needs. Yeah. Or if they don't believe him and they put him in jail, that's even more interesting. Like, I think this is a little too on the nose, and it's just a way to show the effect of glowing eyes. And it doesn't kill the episode. I think it's just a little not as intelligent.
That was a massive key part of the arc in the animated show, was that nobody believes that he's actually the Avatar.
Yeah.
He can't really prove it because he can't bend yet.
Yeah.
I don't think. I don't remember that in the animated show, but, like, he definitely hasn't done any bending except for air so far in the show, which is interesting.
He's done some water bending.
He starts to learn water bending.
He's done a little bit. He hasn't yet.
He's just talked about it. He hasn't actually done it.
It's a little frustrating to me.
It's like saying that you play guitar, but no one ever actually sees you hold one. That's like what's happening.
Guitar,
right now.
Bass, keyboard, drums. Long ago, the Fortnite friends.
Kyoshi Warriors in a band, and they just come out.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. Ooh, that is a good name for a band. I like that. The Kyoshi Warriors. Yeah, there you go. The other thing that I thought was really funny, and Caitlin and I briefly talked about that when we watched this live, is that Avatar, almost called Katara Avatar again.
Stop it.
What the hell?
Stop it.
Katara did not get her scroll from a bunch of pirates.
Oh, yeah.
I actually love that. In the animated show,
she stole it from pirates.
No, the waterbending scrolls
Grand
are really...
Grand gave it to her. What the hell?
This is one of the changes that I actually really like.
I didn't care.
And I appreciate it.
It was incongruent with Katara's animated character.
If you're going to get rid of things because you have to, because it's only a certain number of episodes. This is a good way to, like, you still want that scroll to be a part of the story, but how do you do it? This is a great way to insert this without making enemies of the, you know, original fan base, I think.
Yeah.
I don't like it
honestly
because I had
made more sense.
Yeah, I agree with a lot.
For Grand to give her the scroll.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I didn't like it, though, because we had to look at her stupid face again in this episode.
I'm
like,
God. Grand.
Wait, do we actually? I guess this was brutal.
The only
that's
good thing
brutal,
Grand
right?
Grand's done so far.
It's half her face.
It's minor redemption.
She didn't talk.
It's minor redemption.
She didn't do anything. No, I think that was fine, honestly. I think that the waterbending scrolls are a really fun part of the lore. I do actually remember that from my watch way back when. Like, that episode is very specific in my mind, and I hope that they have a lot of fun with that later on.
Avatar went to the spirit world for the first time in this episode as well. That's the first time that's happened.
Yeah,
which is
I was a little confused of whether or not that was the spirit world or not.
Can I ask a lore question? Mostly, I guess, Ali, but to you guys as well.
was Kiyoshi that mean to Aang in the original show when she's like,
she was pretty yes. harsh.
She's like, you've been asleep
so.
For 100 years.
And,
okay, okay. Because I was like, I really
she's
wrote my notes.
Direct.
I'm like, why is she so mean right now?
She's well, like, her, wait
she's,
the F
she's,
up.
She's
look
not
around.
A child person.
She has
she's
a
an
very
adult
troubled
person.
Childhood. She like,
yes.
like
yeah.
the lore behind her is like her parents are both thieves and, you know, she basically is like raised in this household or, you know, I think at some point she might even run away or be orphaned or something like that, but
they mentioned that in the show. Yeah. They mentioned she was an orphan.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess yeah. I still remember her.
Interesting. I thought it was interesting that they put that in there too, actually. Yeah. That Katara had that whole little thing about, hey, she was an orphan. That's interesting. That was weird, but they harped on that actually in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Well, we talked about it in the first. Sorry, Eric.
No, you're good.
We talked about it in the first episode, you and me, Corey, did. Is all the airbenders are kind of orphans.
Yeah,
like they don't. It was weird. They don't really stay with their parents.
Kyoshi's mom was an airbender.
Kyoshi's mother was an airbender.
Yes, her father.
Really?
Her father was an earthbender. I believe.
Wow, that's a deep cut, Alec.
Interesting.
Yep.
Her
that's impressive.
Sister was a witch.
That was super.
You know what I realized, Bill, with the airbender. This is probably not nearly an original thought, and all of you listening, you've absolutely had this thought. I'm sorry for just not realizing it. The airbenders are basically kind of just Jedi, right? Like, they're monks with superpowers that leave their families and learn to train in peace, but all ultimately have to be warriors. And then they
that's
all
well,
get killed by the government.
Relationships.
And all the younglings get killed. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it works.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I made
my
that
God.
Joke. I made that joke. We watched it.
That's it. Okay, also another question for you guys, because you mentioned Kyoshi in the Avatar state. Very cool effects. Again, I think the effects and the bending continue to be the highlight of this whole show. Did you guys
fire's the best, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely.
Water's the weakest, in my opinion. No, air. Air looks weird. It looks weird.
I think water looks so weird, especially the next episode. Water. There's a lot more water, and I'm like...
I know. Like sorry, I interrupted your question. Go ahead, Eric. Sorry.
Did you guys have the thought of, like, if Kyoshi can do this... Just like
why
do
she
it.
Always?
Just like
that's like asking, why don't they just fly the eagles to Mordor, Eric?
It's anti-nerd. It's
well,
very anti-nerd.
Well, they explain that though. That it,
yeah,
okay, I missed that.
He can only access her when he's at
they
the
make
shrine.
A, they make a very important point to have Aang read that
point.
Line towards the end of the show.
Okay, no, you know why?
Yeah.
Because Aang was saying a line and my brain died. Because
yes,
I don't listen to him when he speaks.
Jesus. Jesus, Eric. Yeah, the shrine thing was weird. I don't remember that being a thing.
I think it makes more sense.
Shrine
no,
thing,
no, story,
at risk of death.
The shrine thing definitely is lore. That because it happens to Aang when he goes to see Ruko.
Yeah, it does.
And the
oh,
show.
It does, yeah.
Because,
wait, okay, is it Ruko? Is it Roku?
Roku, sorry,
Roku.
It's like Roku,
like the
TV device.
Yeah,
it is.
The TV device, right?
Roku.
Yeah. Avatar Roku. He can get you to watch Netflix, Hulu, HBO.
Also, he comes
Avatar.
With Tubi for some reason, but nobody knows what he's actually for.
Yeah, he's got his own line of TVs.
Avatar Tubi.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is
nobody
definitely something
Avatar
in the show.
Tubi.
Though I don't know if they explain it that way in the show. I don't know if they ever explain that, that he's...
The animated show?
Yeah, that he can only take the form in the shrine.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember that either.
That makes sense, though. It's kind of like... Mm-hmm. It's weirdly video gamey in a way that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have the proximity to the shrine, and then you can access the power, and then if you leave the shrine,
right.
then you lose the... Like, my gamer brain is like, cool. Completely
get
that.
It.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I got it.
You have to do that to get the skill points.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
I guess the last thing that we haven't really talked about very much is the entire little battle scene that was on Kyoshi... and I didn't love it, to be honest. It
slow.
Felt very much the volume. This is the type of stuff I'm talking about, Alec. When you once you see the volume, you can never not see it.
Yeah.
Two or three people in the shots at any given time. There was a transition that may be the worst editing transition I've ever seen in my entire life. It was so bad that I paused
the storytelling.
I looked at Caitlin. I looked at Caitlin and I just looked at her. I didn't say anything. And then
I
unpaused it. that was it. It was ridiculous. It's where Zhao threw a fireball
at Suki.
And
Sokka blocks it.
And then suddenly in the next scene, they're like running behind a building.
Yes.
It was still freaking abrupt.
Exactly.
I think that is the only complaint in this whole episode is that they made General Zhao kind of beatable in this.
Yeah, weak.
Well,
he's a little weak.
So they made him weak in this battle, and he's not.
First out.
But then also, we somehow had to light fire to the whole village for the storyline to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I don't. So my thing is with firebending. Unfortunately, in the lore of the show, is kind of the most OP thing in the world because you don't run out of fire. You get it from your insides. It's forever. Okay, that's unfortunately a rough design choice. But, like, Zhao throws a fireball, Sokka blocks one, and then Zhao's like, that's all I have.
I'm dead now.
I didn't know an unbending kid could beat me with a... Just fire
it's like,
more.
It's like,
with a
it's
fan.
Like, it's like I know, with a fan. It's like before you realize that there's more, like, fighting combos than just pressing the A button. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But, like, you can spam A and technically finish the game that way if you really want. Yeah. But, like,
I did. Like, I do.
Just I do it again.
I'll give a positive spin to Zhao in these scenes, and that I do like his like defiance with Kyoshi of like Kyoshi is insignificant, and that's
yes.
an,
yeah, that
and
good.
That's an
that
unfortunate perspective.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. That's, this is like
that was good.
This is like okay, so now I can kind of get behind this
it's
character a little more because now I see how he acts to people that are under him. Right.
That's right.
Yeah, I love that.
It's good. It's good.
Versus like, where I felt like he lost his balls when he wasn't going after Zuko, you know?
Yeah, it's like how you can tell a lot about a person by the way they treat a waiter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I thought you were gonna say how they treat a woman.
Well, off of that, Zhao would necessarily be the most open. One other thing that's similar to you know Corey, you were saying once you see the volume you can't unsee it. I'm gonna give y'all another one here, and I'm sorry if this ruins things for anybody, but it's one of mine. It's when you see people marching and they start and it's like boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
and the sound,
I also noticed
the sound
that.
Stays the same, but their speed changes. So you're looking at their feet, and it sounds like they're still marching, but the extras' feet are all on different.
There's
speeds.
There's a scene in Band of Brothers where the German army, the majority of the German army has surrendered, and they're all marching, mm-hmm. and they get it right. In the HBO series, they get it right, and every single time you hear the marching, it matches up with their feet. I'm like, this is the only way that anybody should ever do this. Like, please,
the
take
march
notes.
The sound is made by the foot.
I know,
the
it's
feet.
The feet.
That's
what the sound comes from.
Like, it is not your
stop.
Obviously, they're ADRing the thing, but, like, extras. I know you're practicing marching on the day between takes. Like, that's literally what you're being trained to do. Just
I know.
Anyway,
just match it up.
Again,
match
also,
it up. Hard, but...
I got a question. Is it something in military where you have to high step?
High step? No.
No.
That always bothers me.
Style
points. From a marching band
marching
perspective.
Marching is for pace. It's not for anything else. It's for pace alone.
It's uniformity.
Yes.
Yep.
Pace and uniformity. It allows you to march faster when everybody has to do it at a certain beat.
High stepping is not fast.
That's right.
Nope.
That's right.
But
yeah, overall, that was weird. The fight was a little weird.
Speed it up a little bit.
Yep. It was. Combat was good. I like the fans. The fan were dope.
The
Kyoshi Warriors were cool.
The sound of the fans. They sounded like swords.
Yeah,
the
sound
like,
of fans were good.
How did y'all feel about the leader of...
I liked her.
...the Kyoshi village?
I liked her. The old woman?
Yes, the old woman, because we haven't really talked about her.
She's
like,
cool.
This is a woman-heavy city.
Yeah.
She's also a new character, right? This is not in the anime series.
I don't
series,
remember
her. Her mom? That's her mom, right? Suki's mom?
It was.
I didn't know she had a mom.
In the live action show, it was her mother.
Well, in the live action show, they get greeted by a man who's dressed in blue. And
okay,
I forgot that completely.
And like as everybody in the town is dressed in blue, and then like Aang, mm-hmm. Aang's like, I'm the Avatar, and he does his airbending and escapes from the ropes that they've got him attached to, and then he does his stupid thing with like
the
little beads.
The mouth.
Yes.
Oh yeah, he has a gaggle little girl.
Yeah.
Yes. She was in there. I swear to you, she was in there.
Yeah, there was
well, they do show it when he like airbends the
bead.
No, I feel so stupid because I'm gonna call it a spoon and it's not a spoon and I've used them 1,000 times. I don't know. It's like a soup spoon.
Chopsticks.
You know,
it's
for
the
like
ladle.
Oh, you know, you use like the soup spoon.
Yeah,
or,
it's like
the
it's the really
soup,
wide
you know.
Spoon.
Like a ramen spoon.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's what it is. A ramen spoon.
God, we are so white. I don't know what it's called.
I know. The widest Avatar podcast possible. I know.
But yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah.
But it,
overall, I think I really like this episode overall. I think. I mean, I liked it better than the first episode.
It kind of gives me a Princess Mononoke vibes.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
Can
analogy.
We take a quick second before we, I know we're going to write to the end, just briefly hit on the epilogue with Ozai, because it's kind of the first time we really get to see him like that.
That's true.
With Zhao being like, I
true.
Found
I forgot that was this episode.
I think we really just need to touch on the whole scene between Zhao and Iroh and Zuko.
Yeah, don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah, which is Zuko, absolutely and crap. They immediately bring in Azula. That's very early to bring in Azula.
They don't bring her in. Yeah.
This next episode.
They didn't reveal it.
Yep.
They didn't reveal it. Was that the beginning of the next episode?
So in this episode, we cut to Zhao, Zuko, and Iroh. Zuko confronts Zhao, and Zhao goes, "Well, if only your highness had been up front."
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, yeah, that was
like, I
want
to know where to place my loyalty.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. The letter was beautifully written.
I loved the voiceover.
The voiceover was fantastic. He was like, "I am but a lowly servant in an insignificant portion of the empire."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot people, Ozai comes on. I'm like, "What's up, dude?" Like, I get it.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, dude. Ozai is
cool, man.
Ozai is scary. They've done a great job of characterizing Ozai so far, being scary. Yeah. You know, he was never, we didn't see him.
He was a shadow behind
the flame wall.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I love the flame wall. They brought it in.
Wonderful.
It's great.
Yep. The flame wall. Big fan. Throne looks awesome.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's a very good way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one, even though when I first.
Oh, the eagles. Oh, the carrier pigeons. Design. We didn't talk about those.
Oh, yeah. The falcons.
That's a hawk.
That's so specific. The hawk. Yeah, the Fire Nation. You know, that's very characteristic in the animated show. They use the carrier message or hawks or whatever.
Yeah. I won't lie, though. Every time I see it, the only thing I can think of is the hawk from Mulan.
That's a good character too.
Yeah,
speaking of good characters.
I will say, obviously, like I knew our talk here is made me really think much more highly about this episode. But when I watched it, and even when I didn't like it at all, this ending made me want to watch the next one, which I think is the purpose of the ending of the show. Okay, cool. Though I am intrigued to see where this goes.
That's right.
I think it was done
the ending of the episode is always the most important.
I think this is where I back up and say, okay. Even though I don't like Zhao not being what I always wanted him to be, I can see that this character has a lot of depth and will continue to progress Zuko's and Iroh's development throughout the story, and I look forward to that.
You sound like his 100%. Ex-wife talking about him after the settlement.
Yeah.
Like, he's not who I want him to be. I can appreciate
But I appreciate you.
I want to kind of finish up the show by hitting our couple things. I've already talked about my sock snack. It was Avatar Kyoshi like taking on or Avatar. How would you describe this? Avatar body. Avatar Aang taking on Kyoshi's body. I thought that was my favorite.
Yes.
My favorite moment and creative choice.
Yeah,
that was my favorite thing. Do you guys have a sock snack for this episode? A favorite moment.
My Sokka snack is probably Suki training Sokka. That whole scene.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Got to take that early.
Yeah. When she whacked him in the leg and he got into the fighting stance, that was beautiful.
Dude.
It was beautiful.
I learned about myself watching this episode. my goodness. Under the Kyoshi Warriors training, and as Sokka was watching them, just all of them in formation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was so crisp. It was so strong. And I thought it was a very great representation of those warriors from the show who I think I would have liked a little more of their history and again a little more of that, but that was a wonderful moment to show them. They were the stars easily.
I would give mine to one is a fan service that I really appreciate, and that is Aang's air ball where he spins around
on
the air ball and hits the statue, which is a callback to the opening credit or the opening credit scene for the animated show. And then
I believe Aang can save the world.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get another Pai Sho analogy from Iroh, and we start to get into this. Okay, Iroh uses Pai Sho as what, you know, what does that have to do with this character arc? And I don't want to spoil that too much, but for people who maybe didn't even finish the show, the animated show, but Pai Sho plays a pretty big role as we go along. So,
definitely.
All right, what about MVPs for this episode?
Oh, Suki.
Suki for me too, 100%. No doubt from my mind.
Caitlin. Okay, if I had to pick one that's not Suki, I mean, Avatar Kyoshi.
Kyoshi, good choice.
And see, nobody picked Zhao. You see what I'm saying?
I would have picked him.
If you pick
but listen, the women deserve the credit.
If you pick a man for this episode, you don't get to vote anymore. I think it's like,
well, I'm going to pick a man. And I'm going to pick a man, and you're going to deal with it. And that's how it's going to be. Okay.
Just know that you're going to get judged.
My pick for MVP is the random dock hand who, when Iroh and Zuko realize that the Zhao ship is gone, just randomly shows up and is like, oh, we heard about a flying cow and ran off. And they're like, oh, we know.
Random.
We know now. Like, where did he come from? He just listens in on the commander's conversations.
That was ridiculous. That was a great callback, though. Oh, Zuko is like, where's the boat? The boat is missing. Iroh's like, what the hell are you talking about? And the other random guy's like, oh, actually, you're looking for the Admiral. The Admiral left this morning. The Admiral left this morning to go see the flying cow because there were rumors about it on Kyoshi Island. You guys should probably go to Kyoshi Island.
It's literally, I know I keep talking about Iroh as an NPC, but this character is literally the NPC.
I actually saw in the credits. His name is Expo. It's Exposition.
Yeah, so. If they would have kept the camera on that dock, about 10 minutes later, somebody else would have walked by, and the guy would have been like, oh, you guys are looking for the Admiral. He's actually a flying cow. He's actually in Kyoshi Island. He just does that all
day. But that's the MVP. Otherwise, Zuko and Iroh would have been stuck on the island.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. Suki could
they would have never known.
You're so right. Unfortunately, majority rules, and Suki wins.
Yes, that is correct. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Youtini Avatar Show. If you are looking for other fun shows, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Youtini Network. If you are already a proud member of the United on Patreon, thank you very much for your support. An extra special thank you to our Jedi High Council members, Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Ramian Bozinski. And also on our Alliance High Command, we have James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Five, and Chris Carrizo. And thank you guys very much for your incredible support. We will keep the party going over in our Discord community. We have a channel, Avatar Netflix. Be sure to check that out. We can talk more about the show there. Huge shout out to our behind the scenes folks, Kyle, for making us sound good, my fellow host here for juggling all the things to produce this show, and for Wes for our Youtini Network support. To our listeners, you're the heart of this community. Thank you very much. Your stories, your voices, and your passions, that's what makes this thing special. All right, guys, that's going to be it for us. Keep exploring, keep sharing, and let's keep having a great time together. We'll catch you next week. Support for this show and all things Youtini Network come from the United Patreon community. At the heart of the Youtiniverse, the United is where our most passionate fans gather to deepen their journey through the worlds of Avatar, Star Wars, comics, nerd stuff, even sports. By joining the United on Patreon, you gain access to an exclusive realm filled with content that takes you behind the scenes of our YouTube channel, provides you ad-free listening for all of our podcasts, and offers regular insider updates. Your engagement and feedback are vital, helping to shape the future of Youtini and the United. And please head over to patreon.com/Youtini, and together we will build a stronger community. Thank you for your support, and remember, the adventure continues in every episode of the Avatar Show across all Youtini Network podcasts.